TV.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Oh no.
Come on, no whammies, no whammies.
Smoke?
Ah, come on!
Forced our fear.
It's Dono. It's Dono.
Did you seriously just do a live summon?
Hey, it's been a while. I mean, might as well.
It has been a while. I remember when that used to be our regular thing. Like every new banner, we'd always do a live summon, and boy, those days are gone.
That was fun, but then we started to not get 5 stars or
stars.
And they quickly became not fun.
No. I didn't get 5 stars. You two kept getting 5 stars out of the wazoo, including you, Tyler, getting 2 5-stars in 1 summoning session.
We had a couple that were pretty good, but.
And actually, during this entire ban, I actually managed to go pull in 2 legendary Azoras as well during this time period.
Oh, shut up, Will. All right, and Antelius Tyler's here too.
I do remember the time that I pulled the Azura on the Hero Fest because I was way too excited about that.
Those were dark, dark times when I was in my 5-star drought, and though I have kicked the trend since then, those were like the darkest times. All I had was Takumi. That was the only 5-star I had. And then I got a 5-star Jorge, and I kept like getting like 5-star colorless, and then I finally slowly started to break the RNG God curse. So, and that was the time when, of course, you and Will spent like millions of dollars trying to get the summons that you wanted. So
I spent good times.
I spent all of $20. So just goes to show you the willpower of that. And no, that's not a pun on you, Will. Just straight up truth.
Like
willpower.
You meant to do a Will pun there, and then you realize, wait, that makes no sense. And then you thought, oh, I better say it wasn't heard the kind of awkward pause, like the wait for the punchline, and then you delivered it, and then you, oh wait, I got it back.
Well, the pun would imply that Will has power, but I am the host, so I have all the power. So, yeah. All right. Well, we got a fun show for you tonight, so we're gonna start it off with what have you been playing? Tyler, how about you start us off?
Oh, that's a good question. What have I been playing? Honestly, I don't think I played anything this last week. I've been super duper busy. I should have played a little bit more of Monster Boy because I'm still trying to trudge through to get my review done. But I haven't gotten to play a whole lot because I have some professional opportunities that have emerged. So I haven't gotten to play anything this week. I'm kind of, now I think about it, I really don't think I played anything. I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones. I'm going to take my time to focus on the fact that Game of Thrones comes out really, really soon, and I've been rewatching the show in my downtime, and I just, it's so much fun. I love it so much. I cannot wait until me and Todd publish our top 5 characters article, because I think that I'm doing my best to do them justice, but every scene I see with Jaime Lannister in it, I'm more convinced that that's my favorite character of all time.
My list is going to tick you off.
It's going to be like Jon Snow, Daenerys, Arya, Tyrion, and who else is like the stereotypical? Are you going to put in Ghost or Drogon? Like, that would really
I should put in Ghost on principle that I like wolves, but I will admit you actually do have 4 of my favorites right there.
Of course I do. Because Todd, you are a simpleton. You are the Hodor of of Game of Thrones fans.
Hodor died heroically, and he was loyal to a fault, and there is nothing wrong with that.
You're right. That's not an insult. Is the other? Please tell me your 5th character is Jaime or Sansa.
No.
Brienne of Tarth.
No. She would have been an honorable mention. I'm not Brienne. Okay. First of all, I know we're not talking about Nintendo, but did you see Gwendolyn Christie's outfit?
I was going to say that. Yes. Oh my! You look up Gwendolyn Christie's outfit at the premiere. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It was. It was very awesome. But no, not Brienne of Tarth. Keep going. Keep guessing.
You said Jaime, and you said no. Marjorie Tyrell.
Oh gosh, no, I didn't like her.
What?
Oh, shut
you
up.
Didn't like Marjorie.
She was a good character, but I mean, you could tell she was going to die.
Olenna. Tyrell.
Oh dang! If it was top 10, she would be on there.
She was
a great character.
Littlefinger.
Oh, he would have been an honorable mention. I'm not gonna lie. He. Aiden Gillian is so conniving.
He is. He's amazing. How about Jorah?
Yes.
Sir Jorah.
Sir Jorah Mormont.
Okay. Yeah.
He is my number five.
Okay. I respect it. So, hey, we're going to have, I think, entirely different picks. Although, I think I put Tyrion on mine, too. So. Right.
If you didn't, I would be surprised. Cause, I mean, it's freaking Tyrion.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You will be mad, though. My number one is Jon Snow.
No, Jon's fine. He's just the stereotypical hero, so yeah. I think he's a little more boring than the other characters. Yeah. But rewatching it, he does have some awesome scenes. I love when he kills the wildling who can warg into the bird.
Yeah,
and he goes, "You were right the whole time."
Yeah, then the eagle like tries to claw at his face.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait, what's that, Will? Oh, this is a Nintendo podcast. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna let you boys have your fun. So
yeah. We're an entertainment podcast third,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, entertainment, and I'm sure Nintendo could make a Game of Thrones title. That would be awesome. I'm just saying.
Technically, we do have that. That's called the Three Houses coming up in Fire Emblem. So yeah.
That's right. Fire Emblem is Game of Thrones, just without the nudity and gratuitous violence and people ripping people's heads apart.
I think I'm going to side with Claude, too. I'm changing my mind. I might not go with Edelgard, because one, everyone's going to go with Edelgard, and two, I think Claude's kind of cool. I like the arrow. I think the upside-down pose is funny.
All right, getting back on topic. Will, what have you been playing?
Frankly, it's also kind of on the quiet side as well. For me, I just been continuing trekking on my trail of Cold Steel, currently in Chapter 2 and visiting the old house again. So, yeah, continuing on Cold Steel, actually updated Devil May Cry 5, playing a little bit of the Bloody Palace, and yeah, again, if you love Devil May Cry, then this thing's really up for you. And naturally, of course, I've been playing Fae, which also the Voting Gauntlet is currently happening right now. The villains, like the destructive powers that are in all Fire Emblem games, I can't think currently right now. Robin is facing up against Harden, I think. I'm not sure which one it was. But then also the other one, what was the dragon again that was recently summoned? Ah, sure.
Idun,
yes. I'm facing against Julius, which I'm currently siding with Idun, because I know if anything else, the popular vote is going to be siding with Faux Dragon Robin, because again, it's Robin and Faux Dragon, so. So that's what I'm basically doing now. We've just been playing Fae, and hopefully tonight's Fae channel my prediction is basically hopefully we get some news regarding the voting banner we did a few months prior, or perhaps even the Dragalia Lost Crossover event. So here's hoping.
We'll be talking about that later, though. All right, for me, I went from I'm not playing anything but Fae and Tetris to I've got too many games to play, because we got a whole bunch of review codes. So like last week, I talked about Power Rangers, Battle for the Grid. I officially have my review up. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. It was funny. I was writing the review, and I'm writing like all the things I didn't like about it. And then I'm like, I didn't exactly talk a lot about why I liked it. I mean, it was one of those things where you can't really talk about the good parts too much because it all blends together. But you have plenty of bad things to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So, kind of like with you and Mario Tennis.
I was just going to say that. My Mario Tennis review was the same way. Like, I think I gave it, like, a 2.5, which is, like, the middle of our scale. But my review was just straight blasting it.
Yeah. So, I was about to say, I gave ours a 3.5 out of 5. Because it's a solid fighting game. It's just it lacks certain personality. And the roster is 7 characters. So, that's not a lot for a fighting game. Okay, wait, it's 9 characters. Sorry. And, like, that's not a lot for a fighting game, especially one that has a rich history like Power Rangers. You had one job, Hasbro! And then we got, much to our surprise, we got a review code for Yoshi's Crafted World.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very much enjoying this game. If you liked Woolly World or Kirby's Epic Yarn or just Kirby games in general or Yoshi games in general, you're going to like Crafted World. And don't let the reviews fool you. This can be a hard game. All right, and yes, the scuttle jump is infinite, and you can basically dodge anything, but that's not the point here. In the game, you have to get these, like, sunflowers, whatever, and they are what lets you go into the various worlds, and the world's actually pretty big, and It could be really hard to get these flyers because it starts out really easy. Like I got like a clean sweep of the first few levels, but then like it ratchets up and you have to like look at very specific things or hit very specific things. And then they got these timed challenges where you always seem to run out of eggs if you're not careful enough with the controls. It's very hard at times. And I'm doing all right, and I honestly haven't had to backtrack too much, but I'm gonna have to backtrack now and. It's still a fun game. Like right now, I'm hovering between 4 to a 4.5 out of 5. It's really, really good. Comic Koopa and Bowser Jr. are the most hilarious duo ever. All right, they like at one level had Bowser Jr. wanting a gator train.
Wait, is it Bowser Jr. or Baby Bowser?
No, Bowser Jr.
Oh.
Bowser Jr. What do you mean, Baby Bowser?
Yeah, because I think it's Baby Bowser. It's Bowser as a baby. It's not Bowser Jr. his son.
It looks and sounds like Bowser Jr. I
It could
mean,
be. You could be right. But they're different characters. That's what I wanted to ask. I mean, I trust you.
no.
You're playing the game.
No, it's a full-grown Yoshi, so it should be, you know, either full-grown Bowser or
Well, there were full-grown
Baby
Yoshis
Bowser
in
Jr.
Yoshi's Island, but that was Baby Bowser.
No, this is full on Bowser Jr. And so anyway, so Bowser Jr. is wanting a gator train because his train isn't cool enough the way it is. And so Kamek is losing it because she's like, hey, we gotta go find the gems. Yoshi's gonna be here any second. And then Yoshi shows up and Bowser's like, yo, dude, help me out here. Who's right, me or Kamek? And so I chose Bowser because I'm like, of course a gator train is a great idea. And then I find a gator train. So, you know, maybe I should have sided with Kamek. Oh, but the look is very interesting because it looks good from an aesthetic standpoint. Like they really went all out with like the fiber of it and the cardboard cutouts of it. But then it also has this weird like film look, like a film is over it, and so it doesn't look as pristine as it probably could be. And then the cutscenes are just beautiful though. So it's like, what am I looking at the rest of the time? So yeah. But I am enjoying it. I'm really glad we got this review code. I would not have gotten the game otherwise, so yay me.
By the
And
way, it is Baby Bowser.
what?
Yep.
I swear it said
Yep.
Bowser Jr. You know, I'm gonna we pause this regularly scheduled podcast because I know exactly where to go. All right, where are you hearing this? Like, where are you
The
seeing this?
internet, the game refers to him as Baby Bowser.
Crap. It's
according to
freaking Bowser Jr.
Cloud8F8F on GameFAQs and Wikipedia. Wikipedia also said it. So I got two sources here.
Not
I really
that.
believe Cloud underscore eight.
I
Yoshi is
don't.
usually Baby Bowser.
Da, 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 da. Oh my, what the heck?
Hey, we've been looking for a main event tonight. This could just be our main event. We just debate the merits of Baby Bowser versus Bowser Jr. Are they the same character? Are they different characters?
I don't know, but I will find out, and I know exactly how to find out. Here we go. Oh, son of a bit.
Yeah.
It all started with Kamek and Baby Bowser. It's not Baby Bowser! It's freaking Bowser Jr. All
He,
right.
they do look identical, although
They
Bowser Jr.
do.
usually has the mask. That's one. But yeah,
Feel
no,
betrayed.
I agree. It is confusing. I'm not going to take away any of your Nintendo points.
Well, you still owe me $20, so what
I
do I
do.
care?
I do.
All right, now that I'm but no, just for that, 3.5 out of 5. It's Bowser freaking Jr. Anyway, but the game is good. I highly recommend it. I would be very surprised if this is a seller, you know, a million seller and all that. So yeah, I'm really like, I'm surprised by how much I'm liking this game. It's kind of like when I got Kirby's Epic Yarn. I
That
thought it
game
was
was
like the most
amazing.
adorable thing ever. So it's definitely feeling like that for Yoshi's Crafted World. So.
Well, which game did you do you currently like more? Epic, because I loved Epic Yarn. Epic Yarn is my favorite Kirby game.
Okay, I can't compare them because Epic Yarn was a Kirby game that wasn't a Kirby game because he didn't have his inhale ability.
Right.
So I can't compare that to Yoshi's Crafted World, where Yoshi literally has all his abilities and more, and it's a different thing. I can't do it.
All
If
right.
now if we did like Woolly World, where he was literally like using the yarn as his, you know, thing, that would be different. But I can't compare those either because I didn't play that. So.
Well, personally for me, I really like Woolly World. It's just like just so much. Plus the unlockable films that really adds to it, yeah.
Anyway, but we're going to move on now because, ironically, it's actually been a pretty good week for news, which is, you know, it doesn't seem like a big week, but it is. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And to start, we are going to talk about Tyler's favorite thing in the world, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Listen, it looks great. Everyone's raving. I can't believe it. I'm shocked.
can you hear the sarcasm in his voice, ladies and gentlemen?
Aren't raving about it. Yes, it has been pre-screened at CinemaCon.
Yeah, which I didn't even know was a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing either. And reaction, some people actually said they liked it, but for the most part, it's gotten the type of response you would expect. I don't know if Todd, you have some of the quotes that are said in that movie.
I only read like certain things. I can look it up though.
There are some fairly cringeworthy lines in there. From what I've read, one is Eggman saying, "I've been making formulas since you were drinking formula," and then the cop says, "I was breastfed," and that's
wait, it gets worse. Yeah,
that's a line in there.
No, have... you forgot about the other line. It goes right after that. He goes, "Wow, thank you for reminding me I was an orphan."
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What the heck is this?
Yeah.
Now, yeah. They did say that Sonic looks bad, but not as bad as you would think when moving. So that's – I'm taking that as a positive for what it's worth.
Of course, the motion blur helps.
You're right. Right.
I heard
that as a little positive.
I heard that it is awkward at times and that it's better than you might expect given like the pics that we saw that we all still hate. But a lot of people agree that it's still not exactly Sonic.
No, of course not. Yeah, so sad day.
Yeah, hashtag not my Sonic.
Sonic Team Racing, though, just around the corner. I'm excited for that.
Right. I mean, I'm just wondering, regarding to Sonic Racing, while we're still on the topic of Sonic, it's just like, when are they going to be releasing the second part of that, like, a nice little short? Because I still remember, like, when they released that little animated short, it's like, man, it looks so great. When are they going to be, like, an episode 2 of it, I wonder?
Yeah, when is episode 2 going to come out? It's been 2 weeks.
No idea. Yeah. See, here's the thing. Here's an idea. How about a Sonic animated movie? Oh my gosh. There's no way that could possibly be super successful. I mean, they're doing it with Mario, and I know you know that's gonna hit more than likely.
No, you don't. You don't know that's gonna
more
hit
more than likely.
Let's look at the past Mario movie and no,
you can't
cartoon.
Say that a live action movie compares to an animated movie. It's
all right.
Literally
fine. How about the cartoon, the Mario cartoon?
That cartoon has Captain Lou Albano, and it's a classic. Mm-hmm. So you shut your
yes,
mouth.
Yes, it's classic. It's
that cartoon
a classic.
Was rough. Like,
it was the 90s. What do you want?
A cartoon like... that doesn't make Mario look like a fool.
Hey, let's
awesome not forget
theme
the original
song.
Sonic cartoon. Okay,
yeah,
that one was hit or miss.
Which all right. Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, they did like two at the same time.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like the anime one where Robotnik was actually epic. I'm talking about the more cartoony, like Sonic Says, you know, that one. That one with like Boggs and Conker, whatever that
dude. Oh, you mean
idiot.
The one that's voiced by Jerry White, Steve Urkel?
No, that both were voiced by Steve Urkel. That was
really?
Beside the point.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was, but yeah,
it was just aesthetically different. And so the anime one was cooler, not Sonic X, the other one with Jaleel. But then there was that the super cartoony one where like Eggman went through like bipolar disorder and was a total nut, like, and not in the good way. So don't talk to me about bad cartoons, Mr. Sonic Says.
Oh, yeah, I'm standing up for him. Sonic's cartoon was better than Mario's.
Well, I know, again, the anime one, yes, but not the
nothing
not
was
the
as good as the old McDonald's cartoons, though. They had the VHS tape growing up of a McDonald's cartoon, and it was great. I was very into that.
Huh.
With the hamburger doing his thing.
I still remember actually buying that thing back then when McDonald's were actually releasing VHS tapes with their orders. So I was like, still remember that promo.
I got nothing to add. And no, I do. I have plenty to add. I read some of the things about this, and there is literally a scene where the government summons Eggman. Well, I'm sorry, Dr. Robotnik, because they're being accurate to the lore. They summon Robotnik, and what does he show up in? Black leather. Because when you think of Eggman, you think of him in black leather. Yeah.
That
at
happens.
least, is the black leather all just the pants size, or he's actually wearing a black leather
He's
jacket of some
wearing like a
sort?
black leather outfit.
Because the pants are black and probably leather. But the jacket, you gotta have the red jacket. I mean,
Now, apparently, by the end. Oh, and that's the other thing. In the black leather outfit, he has full head of hair.
So
yeah.
Young,
but by the end, they tease him in like the red outfit and the bald head and the mustache. But
nice,
we have to get to that point apparently. So
apparently, a young Robotnik.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from Tyler's favorite thing to Will's favorite thing, Persona.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a non-April Fool's joke, Best Buy accidentally leaked information apparently that Persona 5 is indeed coming to Switch. So, we don't have a release date, and Atlas is defiantly saying that they're not talking about it. In fact, one of the people said, in my point of view, Nintendo Switch is a very charismatic console. Oh, that's very interesting. What's a game coming?
Yeah, it was just kind of an interesting news when it first broke out. Like, yeah, apparently Best Buy also released some images regarding to perhaps Zelda Link to the Past, Metroid Prime Trilogy, and Persona 5 coming to the Nintendo Switch. In regards to when, we have no idea, but ever since that news, Best Buy has taken those images off from their website, but of course the internet never forgets. So it just really leaves the question, like, what's happening? Is it finally filling that lore that Persona 5 Switch is coming to the Nintendo, Persona 5 Switch is coming, and finally claiming Joker's place in Smash Bros. Of course, all this will probably most likely be clarified during the announcement of, which is, I think, April 26th. During the
April 26th,
the
it is?
The 25th, 26th, I think, it was one of those dates. But yeah,
and Joker's supposed to come to Smash this month, which is just, first of all, can we talk about how it's been a freaking year since we've heard Joker's announcement, and we still haven't seen any gameplay footage? It's torture.
Not a year, come
technically,
on.
Technically, it was less than a year. It was during the BGAs.
I remember it wasn't actually a year. It's an expression.
It's been 84 years.
Right. It's been like 4 months. No game does that. That is way too long of a gap between announcement and release. And not to mention, we haven't seen any gameplay footage. That's the real thing that's driving me crazy.
What I think is going to happen is they're going to do a dual announcement. They'll do the Persona 5S for Switch, you know. And then right at the tail end of that, they'll morph it into the first reveal of Joker gameplay. And so that'll be it'll be one nice big announcement for what's coming. That's my guess.
Right. And also during that image as well, they actually showed off the render of Joker in poor Smash Brothers, which looking at the image, it seems pretty legit, if anything else. It seems pretty legit.
Yeah, it probably is right. I don't know why people care so much about that. I want to see his character model, not his character select screen thing. But anyway, I'm expecting a Smash Bros. Direct at some point. But if that Persona announcement is at the end of the month, it's possible that we could see a full-on Nintendo Direct instead, or maybe they'll just do. They'll announce it at that, and or they'll release him after that announcement, just and let Atlas take care of it. But either way, we've got to hear something soon. That's so far away. That's like three weeks, more than 3 weeks.
Yeah, but yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Also, Will, for you, there was also a slight update on Shin Megami Tensei 5. One of the producers of the game noted that the game is still in development. But it's a first time Atlas challenge of developing games on a Switch, there's many approaches, and the way to present the works is our challenge from now on. Please patiently wait for more information.
Of course. I mean, again, I'll definitely wait for the next Shin Megami Tensei game because, again, I remember actually one time, like, from Shin Megami Tensei 3 to Shin Megami, which previously was Nocturne, to Shin Megami Tensei 4 for 3DS. We had to almost feels like a decade, it feels like. Maybe 5 years, maybe shorter. But yeah, like, it won't be the first time we had to wait long, so.
All right. From games we truly believe are coming to the Nintendo Switch, to games that might come to the Nintendo Switch should certain things happen, Rage 2 from Bethesda. So apparently, the game, which is coming out rather soon, there have been talks about bringing it to the Nintendo, which would be a huge thing, because again, Bethesda has been supporting the Switch since its launch. They said, well, we've been looking into it. It's just the technology. There are some challenges, but we are always looking for future platforms and future people to work with. So we like to investigate, but we have no plans for that right now. Which is fair. I mean, it's fair.
It makes me think that, I mean, I'm sure that they're working on it internally and they're just not sure if they can pull it off.
But I mean, they're also bringing in Doom Eternal to the Switch and Mortal Kombat 11's coming to Switch. So like makes me wonder what the holdup is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not programming those games. I would think that it's possible that Rage is just more demanding than those two. I don't know why. Again, not a tech guy, but if they can't, I'm sure that they've tried their hardest. They've said their Bethesda games have done well on Switch, so no reason not to believe them.
I'm also not really. I'm kind of indifferent on the issue. Like, while I would definitely like to see more Bethesda games come onto the Switch, like, given, but of course, with recent things, I'm looking at UFOT 76. Yeah, Bethesda has kind of like lost the consumer's trust, if anything else, to say the least. So, bringing Rage, I mean, of course, what we're seeing on the console on PS4, Rage 2, it's a decently solid title for what it is. So, bringing it to the Switch, I mean, heck, more addition, but of course, they had to do a good amount to earn back the consumer's trust, at least in my point of view.
All right. So, let's talk about arguably one of the biggest pieces of news of the week. F-Zero is being made by Retro Studios for the Nintendo Switch. Don't you wish? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this was my annual April Fool's prank to you all. You are welcome.
This is a great story. Please do share, Tom.
So, but yeah, I made up a story saying that F-Zero was being made by Retro, which we are all hoping for secretly, but...
I'm not. I don't want Retro wasting their time making an F-Zero game. I'm going to come out and say it. I'm going to be the bad guy.
Okay. You're the bad guy. Don't like Jon Snow, and you don't like Retro Studios making an F-Zero game.
I do like Jon Snow.
We got two more on Twitter over you not liking Jon Snow. Oh, he hasn't done anything. What about Hard Home?
I never said he didn't do anything.
What about the Battle for the Wall? Okay, that was two things he did, Todd. Two things.
No, I said he's an idiot, and he gets all the people he cares about killed. He got the Half Hand killed. People forget that. Anyway, I don't think F-Zero...
And they were good, and they even he admitted that they were going to get captured anyway.
What? No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
I just watched that part. You need to rewatch the show.
You need to reevaluate.
And you also need to reevaluate where Retro should be putting their efforts. The F-Zero, that's Retro should be building bigger games, such as Metroid Prime 4.
They are, but they clearly have been working on something since Tropical Freeze, and so, which we just don't know what. So. I'm starting to wonder if they have. I kind of wonder now if they just took like a 3-year break and said, screw it.
Yeah, maybe they did.
Why have we not heard anything from Retro? I mean, seriously. But no, the F-Zero thing was a joke. And the funny part was when I posted it on Facebook, the comments. Oh, the comments. They were so good. A couple people believed it. Then they like looked and like, oh, it was an April Fool's joke. Some of them gave me like the best like angry gifs ever. Like one of them did a, you know, like when a cartoon character like squints their eyes menacingly. Well, some person did a shot of a window scene with like every single person to ever do that in a show, live action or cartoon, and they just kept popping in over the course of like 40 seconds. It was the greatest thing ever. But yeah, people were a bit angry. And some people were like, why did you do this? Why? Because it's my job too. The day demands it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely be talking more other April Fool's jokes as well. But yeah, it just kind of shows that a lot of people really do love the F-Zero. Like, it's been so long. It literally feels like it's going to be 84 years since then. It's like, yeah, people want F-Zero at Nintendo. Have you not heard the clamors of your consumers? Have you not heard the howls of despair?
Yeah. Ah, sorry. Anyway. But yeah,
memes
that was...
have been great for April Fool's. Like, April Fool's Day, kind of lame, but memes have made it good because you don't have to go for like the obvious, oh, it's a prank, we gotcha. You can go for much more of the, ha, this is the opposite of what it should be. And then that's always funny.
I did my best to bury the lead by putting report instead of just stating it, because if you just put the topic heading, no one's going to believe you. But if you put like report or rumor, you know, I didn't want to do rumor because that was too much of a giveaway. But report, that sounds official.
Yeah,
you know,
report was good. That was wise.
So, but no, that was my personal Nintendo April Fool's joke to you all. The other one, this one Will showed me. Somebody or some team made a fake trailer for a fake mobile game, Splatoon Island. All right, and look it up. It is so good. Basically, the idea is that when the Inklings don't want to do their turf wars in Inkopolis, they go to this private island and do various other games there. They could do some relax, you know, go on the beach and have fun. You could play beach volleyball with the Squid Sisters. You can do boating games. It looks so real. I mean, they had the models for Callie and Marie and everything. And then it got a little weird at the end where one Inkling proposed to another. And I'm like, they're kids, squids? So I don't know if that actually works. But, and then I was like, oh, yeah. Then they say, oh, it's a fake game. But I wish it wasn't. This, I feel, would do well.
Yes, just for context, well, the creations made from on the YouTube channel of Mike Enel. He apparently is not the first time he also does April high production for Fool's jokes. And yes, Splatoon on, yeah, like while the kids are out to play, the adults are busy on a playing a different game. And yeah, just like the island, of course, there's a lot of like, what was the word again? Like inconsistency, because again, like as you know, squids can't really go into the water, or else they'll dissolve. So, like, it would be strange why they would be in the sea, in the sea island, and then playing in the pool. So, like, of course, there's that inconsistency. But yeah, just the way they how he designed this mobile, this trailer itself, the fact you customize your, well, Inkling or Ink adults, and just, like, yeah, with better bathing suits, all that. And apparently, aside from like the Squid Sisters, they also had like he also made a new musical group, and the only thing just one could assume was like that group's name was Coffee, because one of the squids was saying coffee, 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 coffee. So, and yeah, just like seeing this trailer and how incorporated all the like the aspects, like for like the recent My Nintendo app, like for Splatoon 2, it just feels like this is something legitly Nintendo can do. With current smart devices, we can also do that whole shipping and like splat, just basically shoot other players' ships and just try to splat them. It's just like, wow, that is an idea, Nintendo, please capitalize on that.
Yeah, as I was saying, looks so good that they should do this.
it was just so awesome, honestly. And yeah, that whole mesh thing of there, like, interesting take on it. Okay, like, go a little bit off the Second Life whole virtual sim life thing. Like, of course, it's a Nintendo thing. You don't really expect marriage in a Nintendo property. Well, I mean, certain things. Well, again, the whole Bowser, Prince, Peach marriage fiasco wedding thing, all that, sure. But yeah, it's kind of definitely an interesting to say the least. But yeah, this trailer is just like, it just catches the spirit so well of Splatoon, and Nintendo, come on! This is perfect material! Capitalize on it!
They might. We'll see. Alright, and then of course, one more April Fool's joke. This one was done by IGN, and they made a fake Nintendo Direct stating that everything is coming to Switch. And honestly, I don't think it was one of their best efforts, but the intent was there. And like with all the snapping and the guy getting overwhelmed and all the games coming to Switch and like the fake bathtub simulator and everything, and yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just like the way he introduced it. Yes, we're bringing all the good games, and yes, we're bringing everything, including the bad ones, including the live action Mario game. Which,
yeah.
What? And just like snap.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like, no, Anna, stop killing yourself. It's like, no, one more snap. It's like,
my fingers.
Granted, Yes, like, granted, that was pretty creative on IGN's part, but I think you can all agree upon, like, the best one is the live-action Twilight Princess Zelda movie they did
It was the
years
Twilight
prior.
Princess, but yeah, they did a live-action Zelda movie.
Yeah, live-action Zelda. Yeah. It's just like, whew,
Ah,
that
good.
was great. That was great.
All right, stepping away from April Fool's jokes, I want to talk about this one because of my review. The first free DLC characters for Power Rangers Battle for the Grid was announced, and this kind of emphasizes my problem with this because you're doing DLC that's free, which makes you wonder why you didn't just take like an extra month and just put them in the game proper, because the game just came out and they're talking about free DLC. And then the characters that are going to be in the game are Dragon Armor Trini, which I didn't even know was a thing, and I'm the Power Rangers guy. All right. Udonna from Mystic Force, which I actually think is a good addition. And then the Blue Ranger from the Power Rangers live action movie that came out a few years ago, which I actually think is kind of clever. But it's just, okay, that makes it 12 characters. That's still not enough. And yes, I know Smash Brothers was 12 characters. Smash Brothers is also a Nintendo property. All right. So it made sense for them to go small at first. This is Power Rangers. You don't go small with Power Rangers. So, Dragon Armor Trini, what is that? What is that?
the most hardcore of hardcores would know that one, but
Yeah, I mean, and I'm
yeah.
hardcore and I don't know it. So.
That's kind of the one thing that's interesting compared to like how developers are making games that are like base, like the base product. I mean, this I'm just raised the reminder of the whole back then situation with Splatoon 1, because then we had the base product, and like for what it was granted it was bare bones, but again, Nintendo and the Squid Research facility just added more content, and it just like yeah, it became a fuller product. With Power Rangers Power Grid, again, like we only had like what was how much characters we had in the base game, Todd?
Right now, nine.
So nine characters,
Nine.
and
Yeah.
granted, the story mode was like it's just a basic arcade mode,
Yeah,
nothing
there
really.
was no story mode. It was literally like you would talk to one character in like two different scenes. It was terrible.
So it was like it's a very base product, like almost in similar ways, just bare bones. So,
It's the Street Fighter V of Power Ranger games.
oh
Yeah.
man. So yeah, now they're adding free DLCs to this thing. Yeah, it's just really seemed to be like that is the ongoing trend for developers now. Like, and anyone who actually has made it work is Nintendo, which is the ironic part of it.
Very.
So why is it like yeah, developers just want to like just hurry up and rush the product right now, but and just update it later on. It's just like that is the recent trend right now. It's I don't know. It's kind of like worrying in a way.
It worries me a
Worrying
lot,
a
Will. It
lot.
really does. All right, let's talk. Go ahead.
Sorry. Just one more thing. It's like because like it's as you said, they're now adding characters from the Power Rangers universe. Like three, yeah, now up to 12 characters now, and. Like Todd, as you know, like there's just so many characters in the Power Rangers universe. Heck, I went and checked like, with how about putting Ivan Ooze? I
Oh
still remember
my
the back in the
gosh, they
game.
should put Ivan Ooze in there.
Yes, like I
Yes.
still remember the time when they had like heck, even Rita Repulsa, all I care, because like it's just I still remember that playing that fighting game back in the SNES days, like when you played like yeah, the Zords, all that, Rita Repulsa and Ivan Ooze. It was like that was a perfect fighting game right then and there, and it's like I don't know why couldn't they take cues from prior games and just like add on to here. It's just like it's really weird. It's very weird.
I don't know. It's just, again, the game has potential, but unlike even base game Smash Brothers had more than this, all right? Smash Brothers had personality. Smash Brothers had style and substance, and that's why people loved it. And it wasn't even supposed to work. This game was supposed to work, and it had things that could have been so much better. When three of your nine characters are from a comic book story, which I guarantee you most Power Ranger fans have not read, you have a problem. Okay? They literally have Black Ranger Sentry, which is not Zack from the Power Rangers. It's a soldierized version of Zack. I know kids are going to be watching this or playing this and go, "Why does Zack have a gun like this? His gun doesn't do that in the show." And like, "Oh no, that's the comic version of Zack." No, that's not exactly accurate either. It's like, why? And again, no voice acting. Why? None.
That'll remind
you hear,
me. That'll
you
remind
hear
me.
Laughter and grunts, and that's it. Terrible.
Sad.
Anyway, okay, let's move on to something else that's slightly terrible. Starlink Battle for Atlas. The game wasn't terrible per se, but according to an official statement from Ubisoft, the game has performed below expectations, and they are no longer going to be releasing the physical toys for the game. However,
they want to soon.
Yeah, however, they are still going to do the full DLC for the game, including the Star Fox extension for the Switch version. So you will still be getting that, and they do appreciate those who have supported the game, but I guess it just didn't take off like they wanted to. that was another unintentional pun, I promise you. Yeah. You could say that they really wanted it to blast off.
Unfortunately, the audio just was crash and burn, unfortunately. Granted, it was really more or less the same repeat performance of the Skylander toys and the Disney Infinity toys as well. These companies try to do something so well. We're going to like the Toys to Life initiative, like bring toys into video games, and it just doesn't really work out, to say the least. Like, granted, like the R-Wing and the Fox figure looks pretty dang nice.
The R-Wing was amazing. People,
yeah, and props to everyone who actually got this thing, because now this thing is a bloody collector's item now, so treasure of pride. But yeah. Like, how is it that these toys, like Skylanders, Disney Infinity, and now Starlink, just got trashed, while, like, Amiibo, Nintendo's, is just, like, those things, it just continues to print money for Nintendo. Like, perhaps it's just because it adds on to the game, like, Starlink is just for one game, while Amiibo is just, like, many games. It's like, it's a lot of things that makes me think about why Starlink failed the way it did. I mean, took the toys department.
I don't know, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later tonight, but I do feel bad for them because this game, the game I heard was good. You know, it had some average stuff that I heard the Switch version was the best, and I'm not just saying that. It's like every reviewer loved the Star Fox content and all that, and it's clear that they had the right idea, and they had like the combat was good and stuff like that. It's just, it didn't resonate with people, so I guess you could say that they just needed some space.
It was expensive, though. It cost, I think, $75 for the Star Fox version with the R-Wing when it launched. And that's a lot of money. Nobody accused the game of being, like, deep when they played it. I think the common thing was it's kind of fun, but everything is the missions are the same and it lacks depth. And I don't think that you could sell a game for that much money if it's not going to be an unbelievable game.
Right. And basically, the consensus on the reviews is basically saying, do not come to this game expecting this is the direct spiritual Star Fox successor that we all wanted, that which was not Star Fox Zero. So yeah, do not expect it. And I guess people just kind of like took heed to that. Like, they know this is not Star Fox, to say the least.
Although I'd be tempted to let Ubisoft make a Star Fox game, because now they have the base plate with Atlas, they know what didn't go right with it. It still looked good. Like, all the Star Fox characters looked great. And the R-Wing and the models and everything looked good. But, so, like, take that and make a Star Fox game. Why not?
Right. To the drawing board, then. Yes, Ubisoft. So, yeah, learn this lesson. Take some notes. And perhaps if Nintendo gives you a second chance, yeah, make a proper Star Fox game.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even... I'm not going to... If Nintendo holds this against them, that's on them. Because this was not a Switch-exclusive title. This was multi-platform, and the Switch version had the Star Fox
exclusive
content. And based on the numbers I saw, the Switch version outsold everything else.
Oh.
So, because of the Star Fox content. So, I wouldn't hold that against Ubisoft at all. Now, if Rabbids had failed, that would have been a different Mario Rabbids. Yeah. So, but anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel bad for you, Ubisoft. I know you tried. So, maybe just contact Nintendo by making a Star Fox game and just do it right this time. So... And then you and Retro Studios can... I'm just kidding. It's like, Star Fox or F-Zero crossover. The game Tyler demands.
I'm much happier with Star Fox Grand Prix. It's a Diddy Kong Racing-styled sequel. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And like, we still haven't heard anything from that either. And that has been like a year since we've heard of that.
That had to have like evaporated for some reason. There had to be some... Because everybody said that was real. And I just... I can't believe that that was something that had no bare grounding in fact. But yeah, yeah, no, I hope to hear something from that because it sounds like a cool project.
All right, and finally, Faye Channel, which actually I do apologize because there was one more April Fool's joke. And it was Fire Emblem Heroes stating that Faye, the owl, was going to be a character in the game. And I fell for it.
Really?
I did. I just didn't think about it because it's like it was so it fit. It really did. Like, you know, the F-Zero thing, yeah, you could kind of tell that was a thick thing. Splatoon Island was so well made that it didn't register that it was fake, but this felt real because it was done by Fire Emblem Heroes for Fire Emblem Heroes to screw with Fire Emblem Heroes players.
Yeah, just like seeing that trailer, like, why did they have a new banner? Like, wait a minute, and then you see like that flaming image off face, like, oh god, they're bringing him in, and then like all these like, I can show you that I'm better with all different cosmetics, just basically different hats, the whole floaty tube, the party hats, like, yeah, different attacks, and apparently summon the power of a dragon in him. It's like, what the heck, Faye? And all these things, 999 max damage. It's like, you know this thing is just making it up. I mean, it would be interesting to have a broken unit like Faye, like that, but it would just completely break the game. But overall, like, I'm just happy like they also celebrated the April Fool's joke and actually gave a free accessory of the orb for the characters for all accounts. So that's kind of nice to say the least. They acknowledge it. Like, you can have my favorite accessory, which is the orb on my head.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So you know that was hilarious. That was hilarious that they did that. Yeah. But we are getting a Faye channel tonight, ironically, after the podcast is done, of course. So we'll be talking about that next week, but we're expecting a new banner announcement, maybe something else. I'm actually curious because it's like 16 minutes, which means there's got to be like 3 or 4 announcements, depending on how long Faye herself drones on.
Right, because again, if everyone has remembered a few days prior, again, Dragalia Lost always collaborating with Faye for an upcoming event, so maybe it is like kind of resonating something tonight during the time of recording, or perhaps I don't know. It could be something else. But again, they will. Nintendo is doing cross collab promotion with their mobile games, so who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm gonna watch the Faye channel now that I've
retired. Why would you
play
the game right now?
Yeah, exactly. I've retired from Fire Emblem Heroes, and I don't really want to watch it. I don't want to listen to Faye go for like 15 minutes, you know? Like, it was okay the first time, but then it quickly got old.
Yeah.
You do you, man. You do you.
Whatever makes you happy, man. That's the important part. So I'm going to watch this because I'm curious, and I'm hoping, beyond hope, that we get like a really good banner, but we'll see. All right, well, with that, we are going to move into our main event of the night, which is a look at kind of what happened with Starlink in regards to the place that physical toys have in the video game world now that the, what we only call it, fad craze session is over. And we're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. Alright, so it started with Disney Infinity. It started with Skylanders, then Disney Infinity, then the Amiibo, then other things, you know, coming and going, and then Starlink was really late to the party. But when you really look at it, as Will noted, all of the physical toys are dying out with the exception of Amiibo. And even the Amiibo aren't as prominent as they once were, because all it is now is Smash Brothers and the Shovel Knight trio that have yet to come out yet. So, and yes, Nintendo could launch more Amiibo, but the question is, will they? So, Tyler, I'll start with you. What do you think the future of physical toys like the Amiibo and the Infinity and all the others are in the video game world, if there is at all?
I don't really think that there is one, to be honest. I think that we've seen these things decline. And that's not saying that I think that amiibos are gone or that Nintendo should stop making them. I just don't really think that positioning them as toys really works anymore. I mean, we've looked at Disney Infinity and how that's fallen, and Skylanders, and of course, Starlink. I mean, these are three attempts that all failed. And I think that amiibo, I mean, after, you know, they had some success, but they proved to be fads, in my opinion. And amiibo have kind of, I don't want to say they've stayed just as strong, because they've definitely, the buzz has died down. Like, I went into Target and I just saw a ton of Ice Climbers amiibos just chilling. And that would have never been the case back during the big amiibo craze, when Toys to Life were still a big deal. But that being said, I think that amiibos still have a future, because they're much more collectible than they are toys. You know, there's not with the Starlink toys, you could kind of take off parts and move them on, a much more toyish than amiibos are.
Will?
For me, like, it's really kind of interesting to, like, just absorb the history of it, because, again, as, like, a hardcore collector, speaking for myself, like, I still remember back when the beginning went, yeah, I think because, like, amiibo first came with Smash Brothers, I think, yeah, like, Smash Brothers Wii U, back, yeah, during that time period, and it's just, like, it was just amazing how amiibo just took off, and of course, we had that whole amiibo drought, regarding to Marv, Animal Crossing, like, first edition amiibos, like, everybody was just, like, scourging, like, really scalping, just to the point of buggy dog of getting these awesome amiibos. So, now as the years pass, even reprints of it, like, Animal Crossing, even Marv, and Wii Fit Trainer, we start to see, as you said, the craze has indeed died down, to say the least. So, regarding to a future of it, is, like, perhaps it will be dying down maybe in due time, but I still feel like it still has a future of it, because, again, Skylanders, Disney Infinity, I guess it's just they couldn't really work it well in regards to, like, the long-term process. As usual, it's definitely in the fad kind of phase, because, like, it's just only for a temp. It's very, really short-term. You never know when it's going to be a hot item, and then afterwards it's just going to be, like, just completely tossed in the wind. With amiibo, maybe that's probably the case, because, again, fads will come and go, but the thing that's really helping amiibo is that this just really, like, it brings, you can use it in multiple games. I mean, heck, I still love my Wolf Link amiibo for Twilight Princess and playing it in Breath of the Wild, even though I haven't played Breath of the Wild. Not Breath of the Wild, I mean Twilight Princess for the Wii U.
Yeah, we know, and you didn't play Breath of the Wild, Will. It only took you, like, a year to beat it.
Oh, shite it.
Nope.
So, and, yeah, like, the fact is also just, like, getting all these different amiibos, like, even the Detective Pikachu amiibo, which is, like, bloody huge, and the Mega Yarn Yoshi is, like, the fact is that you had Yarn Yoshi amiibos is, like, I think it was just, like, a very novelty idea. Yarn Yoshi amiibos that can actually use, like, a woolly plushie that actually functions, not just a simple plushie. So, like, that's the thing that also really, I feel that amiibo has an edge, because, oh god, as you know, Nintendo has a history in toy making, and just bring that toy making into modern age, that's what's really keeping amiibo alive. So I feel like amiibo may still have a few more years ahead of itself, but so far, I think they have a future. They can still go, especially since with the whole, I can't wait for Joker's amiibo, which, that, you know, that thing's gonna sell like hotcakes. I can't wait.
Just like the game industry, I feel like this physical toys thing is actually reminiscent of the game itself, because think about all the fads and crazes and extensions that various companies, including Nintendo, have had to try to do over the years to try and keep people interested. I mean, first it was just game consoles itself, and that's actually how the video game crash of 1983 happened, for all you video game historians out there. And for you kids, there's this thing called the internet. You can look that up. Anyway. So they thought, oh, let's just make games. They'll print money. Printing money. I feel like a company has said that before. Anyway, so, you know, they thought, oh, that was it. And then it was about quality games. And then it was about 8-bit graphics. And it was about 16-bit graphics. And then everything was 3D models. And, you know, then it was discs. And then it was, you know, 2-player multiplayer, 4-player multiplayer, internet power. And now, like, super HD graphics and knuckles and stuff. You know, and then motion controls. We all remember that. And it's just these things happen where you don't no one said motion controls in video games before the Wii came out.
Mm-hmm,
and then there was the Move and the Kinect, and then it faded out. And then with the Wii U, it was no one said, hey, I need a dual screen. And then the Wii U, and then technically the PSP had that thing, or the Vita, whatever. Both of them sucked. Not the Wii. The Wii U didn't. I meant the PSP and the Vita, not the Wii U. Anyway, so you know that like that was the thing, and now the Switch is like you know portable console gaming, and we'll see how the Scarlet and the PS5 respond to that. But the physical toys are just another extension. It's the next e-reader. It's the next Virtual Boy. It's the next Hey Xbox, you know, like it controlling the Xbox Glass or whatever, the Microsoft Glass or whatever that
right,
was.
Right, right, right.
So it's just a thing that when it happened with Skylanders, no one had really done that before in this capacity. I feel like it had been done slightly in regards to, you know,
Webkins and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, it happened in a slight way, but it never happened to this extent. And then Disney came along. Disney, of all people, came along and said, hey, we could do this with our characters. And they made it, you know, bigger with Infinity. And Infinity was the biggest surprise of a drop-off because Infinity was selling. I mean, they had just done their, like, 3.0 update. They were getting ready for 4.0. They had brought in, you know, the Marvel Universe and Star Wars. And they were selling. And then it just dropped off. And then Amiibos were a thing. And it was awesome for a time. And especially as they got better over time. And Smash Brothers, of course, helped with that. Then they had the Mario parties and the Kirby Amiibos and everything else. And after a while, you only got them because you wanted to support the characters. Not necessarily that you wanted to... All my Amiibos are still in boxes. All right? And if I ever find an Ike Amiibo, I'm buying it on the spot. I still have it. I only have Marth, so who is clearly a subpar Fire Emblem character. Clearly.
The best, but I can't believe how good new Marth Amiibo's face is compared to old Marth Amiibo's face.
Oh yeah,
face.
I remember that.
I saw the new face and I was like, dang, I got to pick this up, but I didn't have any money, so I didn't. but yeah.
Do you remember the craze that happened with the glitches? Like, if you found an Amiibo that had, like,
yeah,
a defect,
yeah,
you could, like,
yeah.
sell for, like, $1,000.
Oh, somebody had the one with two Samus arms. Yep. I think that was fake, but...
The two Samus arm cannon was real.
It wasn't,
that
okay.
That one was real. But, yeah, it was a thing, so...
Well, that's the
yeah.
thing with Amiibo, though. See, that's a collector's... That's something that's always true with baseball cards. Like, if you have a baseball card that's a misprint, they're worth more than
exactly.
the baseball cards that are printed correctly. And that's where Amiibo differentiates itself. I mean, I remember the Disney Infinity toys, and they were, I mean, terrible, honestly. They looked kind of cheap, and they just didn't really have a whole lot of – they didn't look good on a shelf. You know, they just kind of were there. And Amiibos look amazing. I mean, you look at – I'll use the Fire Emblem characters for example. That Roy's – his shin guard has detail on it. Tiny touches. The embroidery on his chest armor is there. It's really, really impressive how in-depth they went with those to make them look good. And they're high quality. And I think that that's a big difference. They're more expensive than those other toys, but people don't really see them as toys. I mean, when was the last time you saw anybody use an Amiibo in a game? They've kind of stopped using them outside of Smash Bros.
Sorry.
Sir?
That's on my throat. Again, for me, the last time I actually used it was for Platoon 2, especially to get those three costumes from the Octoling 3-pack. And because of the whole knights, witches, and mascots costumes in Splatoon, which is pretty fun to say the least. But it's as you said, yeah, you don't really see many people using their Amiibos in games because, again, either they want to, one, either scalp them and then sell for profit down the line will become so rare, or just like, yeah, just for collector's sake that they just observe it right then in your collection. Granted.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Would you have bought the Splatoon 2 Amiibo even if they didn't give you those costumes?
Granted, I mean, I still would get them because, one,
right.
I just love the series of Splatoon 2. I mean, especially with, like, the Callie Marie and the Off the Hulk Amiibo just came out. Like, of course, I want them. But, like, back then when it was, like, announced, back when I was still in Malaysia, like, I need it! And it's like, yeah, I just want to supplement my support.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree. I have a whole bunch of Breath of the Wild amiibo. I think I have all of those, except for I don't have the champions. Those are cool. I kind of should get the champions. Anyway, and I use those. I got Epona from using the Link amiibo, and I think a couple other rare items from different tunic pieces from different other ones. But I would have bought those anyway because they looked so good, and I like Breath of the Wild, mm-hmm, and I thought, mm-hmm, oh, this is a little cool on my gaming shelf. And there they sit right now, and I think, yeah, wow, those look pretty cool. But I haven't, like, I would have bought those regardless of whether I could have gotten a special, mm-hmm, horse in Breath of the Wild. Like,
right, right.
For Skylanders and for Disney Infinity, you needed the toys to be able to play the games. Amiibos supplement,
right, right.
And that makes them kind of a more sustainable thing. I'm surprised that they never released an Amiibo game. That was shocking. They never released a straight up Amiibo game where you had to have Amiibo.
Well, I think the only time that actually they kind of, that idea is with Animal Crossing Festivals.
True.
That board game, which I have bought that game out of like curiosity, which I deeply regret because of freaking RNGesus of that game. And the fact they also have a separate series of Animal Crossing Amiibos and Animal Crossing cards is like, was also like another like fad that happened in the time being. So again, they also have dabbled in it, so, but I guess it just wasn't.
But they didn't do like a, you could scan Mario into a hub world, and then you could play as Mario, and then you could scan your Zelda amiibo into that same world and play as her. Like, you're right, that's a good point. They did do Animal Crossing
Amiibo Festival.
But yeah, that was specifically Animal Crossing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Mario
right,
Party
right, right.
10 had an amiibo mode that was actually kind of decent, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, it was just mm-hmm. kind of boring with the board, with one board, and it wasn't that cool. But so they have kind of done sort of like higher commitment stuff like that, but there was never a Disney Infinity styled amiibo game.
Right, it wasn't like fully mandatory aside from Amiibo Festival. Right, right. And I'm just want to go slightly off tangents because, like, I think the also reason why Amiibos also continue to thrive is because of the third party as well. Because again, you never would have thought that Nintendo would make a Sonic Amiibo. You never thought that they actually would be down the line with making a Snake, a Ken, a Ryu Amiibo, or heck, even like, yeah. I mean, granted, the Fire Emblem Amiibos is Nintendo property, but you ever thought all these years they would actually make a Cloud Amiibo,
a Shovel Knight Amiibo,
a Shovel Knight Amiibo, and it's like, holy moly. Heck, they even made it to the point of having a Diablo 3 Loot Goblin Amiibo. It's like, Nintendo making properties that's outside their comfort zones. Like, the Cloud of Final Fantasy VII. Sooner or later, we're going to have Persona 5's Joker from Sega. Sonic. It's like, Nintendo making toys from different companies just to celebrate the collaboration. I think that's also the reason why people just, that Amiibo just continue to thrive. It's like a unity, collaboration effort to bring these characters to life. I mean, sure, we've seen like high quality premium figurines from like other companies like Mega House or Kobakia's. You see like higher characters, like even the Square Enix Play Arts Kai figurines, which I have some here myself. But Nintendo and then these other companies, third parties and close partnerships is just like, it's kind of also a reason why people like Amiibos. It's just like that unity, that again, like, we have a Cloud Amiibo. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah, it is exceptionally cool. And even though they're more expensive than, say, Skylanders, they are less expensive than those super, you know, intricate figures that kind of bar people off because of that high price point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, of course, I still would like to see like more. I still remember like the Corrin Figmas that was like for $70 in release. Now it's like up to like $100 now. Sure, the high quality Nintendo figurines. So, I mean, yeah, those are that. But again, Amiibos is just, it feels like it serves more purpose. Again, you can scan it in game, but it's not mandatory. But of course, again, it's all the preferences. Some people could argue it as basically on figure DLCs, but it works for all games down the line. So I guess it's also like in a way of a future investment, to say the least.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where, I don't know, it's really hard to describe because Amiibos honestly shouldn't have worked, but they did because, you know, we're fans. And that's what it really boils down to. We are fans who love are these characters. Like, I wanted a Link amiibo. I wanted an Ike amiibo. I was happy to get Charizard and Mega Man and, you know, some of the other ones. I almost bought a Ryu on the spot because I just thought that Ryu looked so darn cool. So, it's just... I don't know if they'll ever... I'm with Tyler. I don't think they'll ever be as popular as they once were unless they do something intense with them. But you never know. And again, if all they are is for Smash Brothers, you know they're going to sell for Smash Brothers. So, you know.
Right. And of course, we still have four more characters left in the DLC pack. So, and you know they will get amiibo. So who knows? We'll probably get Sora amiibo or whatever it could be. The amiibo ideas are endless right now. So you never know.
All right. Well, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Last week we asked you a very important question. Let's see.
Yeah, he doesn't have it up.
Second now. Are you interested in the rumored new Nintendo Switch designs? 14% of you said yes, only the handheld version. 29% said the Pro model. 14% said both. And 43% said no, I'm good with the OG.
How many votes did we have?
We had 58 million.
You almost said 58. If you had ended at 58, I would have believed you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How many?
Not a ton of votes on this one. Not a ton of votes on this one.
Okay. All right. All right. So for this one, let's keep it amiibo. Will you continue to collect amiibo if they come out? Yes, no, or I'll only buy specific ones.
Sounds good.
All right. So with that, we are ending this episode. Let us know what you think about the amiibo situation. What did you think about the Sonic the Hedgehog footage description? When is Persona 5 coming to Switch? And when will Joker be revealed in a release date and gameplay footage? Are you excited for Faye Channel? Are you hoping that F-Zero really is being made by Retro and just sticking it to Tyler? You know, if no other reason, that last reason is good enough. So let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.